Good morning. It is good to see you again. I praise the Lord for a wonderful family time in Malaysia. Last time our family went back for Chinese New Year was 1995. So after 18, 19 years, our whole family managed to return to Malaysia and then have a family reunion. Our family has a kind of tradition. A few years, like not necessarily how many years, but we do have a family retreat. That means everybody come back from the family, we'll go to somewhere. And then we have 41 people this time in our family, just my side, not counting Emily's side, because her side is even bigger, so we didn't include her side. And her side, a lot of them, they are very busy. But we have 8 out of 41 full-time ministry in the ministry in our family. So we praise the Lord for that. One thing, it was very touching, very powerful. We experienced the power of reconciliation. You see, 41 in a family, you can imagine we have a lot of problems. As any family, we have a lot of problems. We have a few, they grew up in the church, in the Sunday school, and never want to accept the Lord. So they work their direction, their way. I mean, they are good people, but just saying that when we come together, doing a retreat, you know, share the word of God, you know, seeking for God's guidance and help, and they are kind of outside the circle. It's a bit difficult. The most touching thing was my elder brother is a pastor also, and then he and his son-in-law had a real problem some years ago. And then the son-in-law basically cut off from our family. Whatever, you know, activities, anything, he will not show up, he will not receive the call from our family. It was very difficult. Our family prayed for years. And then this time we were praying our children, Job, David and Ruth. Three of them, they are good friends with this my brother's son-in-law. So we pray very hard, we try everything. But whenever we call him, he look at the phone number, it's from our family, he just hang up. So not, you know. So happened that his mom was very sick. Then we say, let's go and visit her. And then, you know, we wonder if he opened the door for us. But anyway, he and me and my younger brother, we have good relationship. And he is good friend with Job and David anyway. So we basically all went. And then he was very touched because we have 10 people coming to visit her mom. And during Chinese New Year, so we brought gifts. So her mom was so touched, and then he just felt like, well, okay, you people came to my house, so he need to do something. So we invite him to come for New Year Eve dinner, and he came. But he didn't promise he will come for a family retreat. So we prayed very hard, and Job and David worked very hard, and finally he came. But he is a businessman, busy, no holiday all year round. I mean, not Christian, so he tried to earn as much as possible before, you know, the opportunity gone. But anyway, he came. Nothing happened, you know, until the last night. His wife is, you know, young man's wife is my brother's second daughter. Came to Emily saying that if we don't do anything, we don't have any chance anymore. I was in charge of the whole family retreat, so I was very tired. I can't even open my eyes, but Emily said, one more thing before go to bed. I said, I can't even think, I can't even talk. So she said, this is urgent, we need to call my brother into my hotel room and then say, talk to him. So I called him and then he came by. I said, brother, let's face it, okay. Are you willing to just sit up and, you know, you know, just show your desire as a Christian. And then my brother said, okay. So the early morning, the next day early morning, I asked my brother to sit at the table. I say, I'm waiting for him. Once he came into the kitchen, cafeteria, I say, I will call him and sit together with us. And then the Holy Spirit start working. My brother just hold out his hand and say, forgive me. Wow, so powerful. I mean, you know, father-in-law asked son-in-law to forgive him. I mean, not necessarily my brother's wrong, but it did hurt when they, you know, the way they communicate. It was just, I just feel like the whole great world fall down, like, bang. And the young man said, no, 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 you shouldn't say forgive me. I mean, he said he was so, I'm not sure how to express it, but since that, and then 2 hours after, it was a closing time. So I say, okay, the theme for the family, our retreat is, you know, a blessed family. So what do you think a blessed family should be? So everybody's saying we need to have patience, we need to have love, we need to have forgiveness, everything. So I say, let's do it. So we start the music and then singing, and then let's do it. Everybody hug everybody with tears and just ask forgiveness, ask, you know. It was so powerful. It was so powerful. This is the introduction for my testimony, but the message itself is when I asked my brother to sit down and asked his son-in-law to come by, his name is Danny. And then when we talk about it, Danny and his wife, they have problems. They are at the age of divorce. And so I saw both of them reconciled. So I just encouraged him. I said, look, you need to work hard on your marriage. And then he looked at me, he said, uncle, it's very difficult. I said, we all went through this. We all faced a similar situation. He said, no, not you. I said, why not me? He said, you are a pastor. I said, what do you mean? He said, pastor has no problem with marriage. I said, are you serious? Then I start sharing with him. He said, wow, is it true? I mean, this is my message here. I start worrying. Non-believer look at Christian. Non-believer come to church. What they listen is quite often their impression is one side of the gospel. What I say, one side of the gospel. The Sunday before I came back to America, I went to a church, my own church, when I was in a youth, I was there. The pastor preaching, she is a lady pastor preaching. She was a Sunday school student of Emily, so, you know. Then she was preaching. Very beautiful preaching. But during the preaching, I just thinking about, maybe she need to add another point. Because she is preaching about, you know, let's ask God to give us peace in this new year. Okay, peace, everybody love peace. And she just quote verses after verses, you know, incident after incident about God's promise about peace. I start worrying about this kind of preaching because I'm reading Philip Yancey's book called The Jesus That I Never Knew. And in there, Philip Yancey start quoting, saying that there is a lot of difficulty challenges in the Bible. Seems like there is no answer. Suffering, there is no answer. So when I was listening to the preaching, my heart troubled me because when I was in a youth group, that was many years ago, you know, we all face a tragedy. One big ship traveling from one port to another port sank. We have a lot of people, friends in the ship, all died. But some survived. I remember that event, and then those people, they survived in our church. They, you know, they share their testimony how God saved them. But at the same time, there are people in there, their family member died in the same trip, and both from the church. So I was bothering about this kind of message, like, you know, if we believe in Jesus Christ, every problem is solved. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we will have peace all the time. If we ask Jesus, then we will have success all the time. I have a hard time with this kind of message, because this is not a balanced message in the Bible. This is not. So this morning, I quote this, use this John chapter 11. That you remember this chapter, talking about a family. They are good friends of Jesus Christ. Okay, very good friend. Two sisters, one is Martha, another one is Mary, and their brother Lazarus. You remember this. So when Lazarus was very sick, you know what his family did? Of course, Jesus, a son of God, Jesus is powerful, Jesus has all the answers. So they sent people to ask Jesus to come. And then, in verse 21 and verse 32, both verses say the same thing. Both verses say the same thing. At first, Martha told Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You see, this is a kind of why this happened to us. Okay, we are your good friend. You can solve the problem. You can prevent the death of my brother. So if you have come, been here, if you have come, then this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't happen. We as Christians, we are not prepared to face this kind of question. A lot of time we try, as preacher, we try to preach something that people hear and they will say, "Wow, that's good, I want to be a Christian." I was very bothered about this. I remember when I was in Hong Kong in the seminary, we organized a rally, an evangelistic rally in the Buddhist area. So we used the basketball court, and then the preacher was one of my professors. He preached on, you know, paying blessings if you become Christian, if you accept Jesus Christ, then you will receive these 10 blessings. I was very bothered about those kind of message, because very soon people will question, this is not true. Why is not true? Not because the blessing is not true, but because there was something else. You Christian, you didn't tell us. You didn't tell us. Why that happened? So in the Bible, someone was blind, and then people ask, okay, his blindness because of his parents, or because of his sin, or because of what? People try to find out the answer. People try to find out why that happened. So brother and sister, let's face it, you know, we have been selective for too long. Selective of what I want to believe. Selective of what I hope I can, you know, own. And then we select blessing, we select peace, we select successful, and we select a lot of things that, you know, is true in the Bible, but at the same time, it's not the whole truth. It's not the whole truth. So that's why Philippians is saying that he was very bothering about this, because when he was in Sunday school, he heard about, you know, Abraham, Moses, all successful people. And the pastor said, young people, you need to have faith in the Lord. And then he bumped into the wall. He know that I need to have faith, but how? What? He just felt like, I cannot be like Moses. I cannot be like Abraham, I cannot be like those people like Daniel or Joseph. I just can't. And he almost dropped off from the church. He almost don't want to be Christian. He's just saying that there's a lot of questions that I don't have answer. Until one day, he saw the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. He said, I wonder why. Jesus went to those uneducated, those people, they have very low, status in the society. They, in the people's eye, they are just, normal people, or they are not important people, and, why choose them? Why don't Jesus look for someone, really have influence in the society? And then he read the Bible. He said that, someone asked Jesus to help and said, "Jesus, help me because my faith is too small." And then he felt a lot of comfort. He felt a lot of comfort. So I just one brother and sister to know that we can preach on success, we can preach on peace, blessings, everything. But at the same time, we need to prepare brothers and sisters, all the Christians, to know that if things doesn't go that direction, how can we still have solid foundation in our faith? This is very important. So when the two sisters ask someone to call Jesus, saying that your best friend Lazarus is very sick, and Jesus can come very quickly, but in the Bible says he delayed. And then when people doubt why you delay, Jesus say, okay, so Jesus said the sickness is not aimed in earth in death, but it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. I wonder how many Christians can take it. How many Christians can take it? We have a family with a, like autism son or daughter. How, as Christian, we can encourage him or her as parents, to praise the Lord, to give thanks to God? We don't know how to say it because this is not familiar to our Christian faith. This is not familiar to what the pastor say, like teach us how to behave safe. It's not familiar. It's not familiar. We don't know what to say. And Jesus say, this is for God's glory. How many Christians is willing to face the fact that someone in my family is very, weak physically, and yet we want to praise the Lord because we know that God wants to glorify Himself through this event, through this whole thing? How many of us willing to take that as our Christian faith? Not many. So when we read the Bible, Jesus prayed before He was arrested. He asked for God to take away the cup. Literally, God rejected him because God didn't answer that. God didn't answer that. As Christians, we need to know that there are difficulties, there are questions that we may not have answer. Even until the day we die, we may not have answer. But that shouldn't make us wondering or doubt God or decide to leave our faith. They shouldn't. Because in the Bible, we need to know the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. If He died on the cross, He didn't reserve anything for Himself. He loved us to the end. We trust that He has this plan. We don't know. We may feel like His plan to us is a bit unfair, because why everybody else, they are so healthy, they are so normal, they are so intelligent. Why me? Why my son? Why my daughter? Why has this happened to us? We have a lot of why to ask. And then as Christians, if we only choose to look for blessing, success, peace, love and joy, everything, and we are not prepared to balance our faith to face difficulties, then we start burying our question why in our heart. And one day, we realize that we are actually walk away from God. This is not what we want to see. So when we talk about solid foundation, I want brothers and sisters to know that we need to depend on God totally. Totally, in a sense, doesn't matter what happened. We trust that on that day, you know, God will get all the glory and we'll see the truth, the picture, why this happened to us. We need to practice, we need to have good foundation on this kind of faith to face tomorrow. So, brothers and sisters, this is very important. I love the text at a writer, Japanese writer. He is Yuan Tan. He wrote a book called Silence. Silence basically is talking about God's silence. That means God is not responding. You ask God why, you didn't hear, you don't hear God's answer. Silence. And he wrote this book, it's very interesting, because as Christian, he found out a lot of books about testimony about different people, like people sharing their testimony. Most of the time, or almost according to him, he said that almost all the books written about Christian testimony are talking about the victory, overcoming, you know, difficulties or whatever. He said almost never read any book about the failure of Christian. The failure of Christian. So he started collecting incidents, like events or, you know, sad story about Christians living the Christian faith during the Japanese. He talked about Japanese general killing Christian, and they use all kinds of cruel punishment if those Christian refuse to let go, to deny Jesus, and Christian were killed. So a lot of Christians just saying, okay, I give up, I don't want to be Christian. So he wrote a lot of this kind of so-called testimony. Just talking about when Christians facing difficulties and they deny, they just say, okay, I don't want to become Christian, otherwise, you know, I will suffer. So he wrote a book, very powerful book. But in this book, he said in his conclusion was very powerful. Why? He said that the most powerful message from Jesus Christ is his unfailing love. It's his unfailing love. So in his conclusion of this book, he said that he believes that those people, even they deny Jesus Christ still loves them. And he said that when Jesus was on the cross, he was, you know, nailed on the cross, and Jesus said, forgive them. He said that as Christians, we need to build on this kind of faith, knowing that who is our true God, who is Jesus Christ, so that as Christians, we don't give up our faith easily. We don't deny Jesus easily. Not because I am, you know, successful, I pray and God answer me, and then I ask God and God bless me, so I love Jesus, I want to be a good Christian. Not only this, but in time of difficulties, when we pray, God is silent. When we ask God, there is no open door. Like Job, there is no open door. When time of difficulties, we don't know where is God. And that's the time to test how strong is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about, you know, our faith, our belief, brothers and sisters, I'm learning. I start counting blessings, but at the same time, I start asking God to help me to understand. I may not understand, but at least I'm learning how to trust God and praise God for things that I don't have answer, for things that people suffer and people, they try to, get out from those kind of difficulties, like poor arts or healing of his eye, it didn't happen. And then when I asked God to help one young pastor, a testimony I've been sharing for so many times when I was in Hong Kong, with our seminary, we a lot of us, we fast until we stopped fasting because a telephone call and the person died. So we don't fast anymore because died, okay? So what do you pray for? I have a lot of questions deep under my heart. I'm not sure how to answer it. I have two co-workers, they are two pastors. I was very uneasy about their preaching because only 3 points. Always, difficulties, and then now we need to be Christian, and then so if we have difficulties, and the third point is Jesus is the answer. So every time has a conclusion, every problem solved. I have difficulty with that kind of message because, in reality, in the Bible, there are a lot of questions unanswered. So if we only take this life, whatever happened in this life is the conclusion of our Christian faith, then we get into trouble. Because a lot of problems we don't have answer until we meet our Lord over there, out there. So brothers and sisters, I hope this brief sharing will encourage us a little bit, because I share with my family member, Danny, this young man, I share with him, I say, Emily and I, we argue, okay, but we have way to get back together, because we forgive each other, we love each other, and then he realized that as Christian, not because you don't have problem and I have problem, so I cannot be Christian. I just can't. I say no, not because of us, but because of Jesus Christ. So we came together. So I still pray for Dennis and his wife. I hope these two can learn how to face the challenge they have. One is Christian, one is not. But the Christian is not very good Christian, so he felt like she is not real Christian. If a Christian is like this, then I don't want to be Christian. So I don't know how to help them. But anyway, brother and sister, when non-believer knowing that, it's not about you and me, but it's all about God, okay? You and me, whether we have, everything smoothly, successfully happening to us in this life or not, this is not the top important thing. The main thing is Jesus Christ is the one who loves us. And then he has, died for us. And then one day we will know the answer when we meet him over there. So brother and sister, let us build our faith and, just faith to trust him, because even though we may not have all the answer now, but we trust God that one day we have the answer over there. So let's build our faith, not in this short period of lifetime or material thing or whether my prayer is answered or not, but let's build our faith in him alone and knowing that God has his purpose, and even his silence, but his silence with the main purpose that he will be glorified. Let's pray. Father God, ask the Lord you will speak to us and help us when we read the Bible, we face the reality that there are many blessings, there are many goodness that God you have prepared for us, even in this life. But there are a lot of unanswered questions, difficulties, but help us to trust you even that happened to us, so that we can, by faith, we can trust you and work with you and enjoy just being your children. So speak to us, strengthen our faith In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.